Good evening, and a warm word of welcome to our weekly Bible study coming to you from Six Mile Cross Free Presbyterian Church. It's a joy as always to have you joining in with us, and I do pray that the Lord will richly bless you and encourage you even through his precious word again this evening. Do remember our services as they continue week by week. Remember Sunday morning at 11:30, we meet together in the church for the worship of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you're in the area, we do extend to you a very warm welcome, and we do even express our delight that we would have even a new joining with us at that time. 7 p.m. on the Sunday evening is our online service as well, and do even tune in to those broadcasts week by week. Can we also say that next week is a week that we're certainly looking forward to? It's a special week in our calendar when we should have been having our Children's Bible Club in the Orange Hall just here beside our church. But due to the circumstances, we're endeavouring to have our Bible Club just in a slightly different format. It will be online night by night, Monday to Friday at 7 p.m. It'll be on YouTube and it'll also be on Facebook. And we do extend to each one, if you have children or young people, we do extend to you that warm word of welcome to tune into our broadcast night by night. There'll be singing, there'll be quizzes, there'll be memory verses when we're learning verses from the scriptures. And we're looking at the life of George Mueller over the course of that week. So Monday to Friday next week at 7 p.m. do tune in to our broadcast night by night. Now let me invite you now to open your Bible, if you have one, to the book of Hebrews and to the chapter number 4. The book of Hebrews and the chapter number 4. And we're going to break into the reading of God's word at the verse number 9. The verse number 9 in Hebrews chapter 4. And the word of the Lord says, "There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. For he that is entered into his rest, he also hath ceased from his own works, as God did from his. Let us labour therefore to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. For the word of God is quick and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and opened unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." Amen. And may God bless the reading of his precious and his infallible word to each and to every heart. Over the course of this meeting, and indeed next Wednesday as well, I want to consider with you the verse number 16, and in particular the words and what is found there in relation to the throne of grace. The throne of grace. Verse 16 as a whole, it says, "Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." Let's have a word of prayer just before we come to consider God's word this evening. Father in heaven, we bow before thee, coming into thy most holy presence, in and through the precious name of the Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. We do thank thee, O God, for our Saviour. We thank thee for the one who is a shepherd and the bishop of our souls. We thank thee, O God, that we can testify this night that he is that good shepherd. He is the one who loves us. He is the one who gave himself for us, who took our sin in his own body upon the tree, and who suffered and died there in our stead. We thank thee for salvation. We thank thee, O God, even as we have read tonight, that our Saviour has passed into the heavens. He has entered into the throne room itself. He's into the Holy of Holies. He's presented his body and his blood as that sacrifice for sin. And he is there as our great high priest. He maketh intercession for us. He presents himself, O God, even before thee now. We thank thee for his righteousness. We do rejoice, O God, that for each one that is saved, his righteousness has been imputed to our account. We're clothed in that righteousness, and therefore we can come before thee, and we can pray to thee, even in our time of need. And O God, we confess that even now that we have that need of help, Lord, we have that need even to bring thy precious word to each one. We do pray, O God, that thou wilt bless thy word, that by thy Holy Spirit it will find that resting place in each and in every heart. O Lord, speak even now, encourage thy people. Lord, speak to the lost as well. May they see even the grace that is found in Christ, Lord, is there right now even for them to avail of. Come and work in hearts, we pray. Glorify thy Son, in Jesus' name. Amen. One of the greatest scientists who ever lived, Isaac Newton, he gave this witness to his faith in God. He said, I can take my telescope and I can look millions and millions of miles into space. But I can lay my telescope aside. I can go into my room and I can shut my door, get down on my knees in earnest prayer, and I see more of heaven and get closer to God than I can when assisted by all the telescopes or material agencies on earth. You know, each one of us has travelled in different ways throughout this day. Different locations have been come to, and different practices have been undertaken by us all. Indeed, our journeys throughout the day have maybe taken you further than others. You may have went through many different counties even within our land, or maybe you've been at home the entire day. And yet tonight we are all gathered together, I trust, even as we come around the study of God's word, that we have that desire as well to come to the throne of grace. There is that common destination that we're all heading to this evening, the throne of grace. You know, as you make your way through Hebrews chapter 4, the author brings the focus to the topic of rest. We began our reading this evening with the verse number 9. It says there, there remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. An encouragement is given in the verse number 11. Let us labour therefore to enter into that rest. You know, some look upon this rest as being the eternal rest, which a Christian enjoys both with Christ on earth and with Christ in heaven. And we are exhorted as the people of God to work, to labour with that rest in view. The question, it may be asked, well, what is that labour? What is that work which is involved? What is that work which is in view even here in this passage? I believe the answer is found in the following verses. For the verse number 12, it speaks of the study of Scripture. It tells us the Word of God is quick and powerful. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. It's piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit. That's the study of Scripture. And in the verse 14, or 16, you have the weapon of prayer. It says, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. You know, our midweek meeting in church is known as the prayer meeting and the Bible study. It is held primarily for the people of God. It is part of that labour. It is part of that labour in which we are working towards entering into that rest. We gather together in God's house with that desire to study God's word and to pray together. And so the application is here to be made of the importance of the people of God attending this meeting, and indeed prioritizing it within their week. Because we want to all enter into that rest. We want to have that rest even for the people of God. And the scripture shows it's through the study of God's word. It's through the time spent in prayer. And so let me encourage you, child of God, to go and even to come to our times of Bible study and prayer meeting, to prioritize it even within your week, that you have that desire, you have that place even, and that decision made in your heart and in your mind. I will go to the house of the Lord. I will go, yes, on a Sunday, but I will also go on the Wednesday. I will go because I want to study God's word, and I want to spend time in prayer with God's people around the throne of grace. You know, tonight it is, as I said, the verse 16, which we will spend our time on, as we consider the throne of grace and the wonder that it is and the blessing that it is for every child of God. There are some questions which I want to consider with you in relation to this verse, both over tonight and again next week. The first question I want to ask very simply is this: who will we find at the throne of grace? Who will we find at the throne of grace? The verses 14 and 15, it says, "Seeing then we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession." Who will we find at the throne of grace? Very simply, we will find the Lord Jesus Christ. We will find the great high priest himself. He has entered into heaven and he is there on our behalf. You know what a difference there is for the child of God today than there was for the Israelite in the Old Testament. The Old Testament mercy seat is the New Testament throne of grace. The mercy seat on the ark was God's throne in Israel. If you consider the words that are found in the book of Exodus and the chapter 25 and the verse 17 and following, Exodus 25 and verse 17, it says, "Thou shalt make," this is the Lord speaking to Moses, "thou shalt make a mercy seat of pure gold. 2 cubits and a half shall be the length thereof, 1.5 cubits the breadth thereof. Thou shalt make 2 cherubim of gold and of beaten work shalt thou make them in the 2 ends of the mercy seat. Make 1 cherub of the one end and the other a cherub of the other end, even of the mercy seat, shall ye make the cherubim on the 2 ends thereof. The cherubim shall stretch forth their wings on high, covering the mercy seat with their wings, and their faces shall look one to another. Toward the mercy seat shall all the faces of the cherubim be. Thou shalt put the mercy seat above upon the ark. And in the ark thou shalt put the testimony that I shall give thee." And look at the verse 22. It says, "There I will meet with thee, and I will commune with thee from above the mercy seat, and between the 2 cherubim which are upon the ark of the testimony, of all the things which I will give in commandment unto the children of Israel." The mercy seat was a very special place. Mercy seat was there above the ark with the testimony, even within. But it's never called the throne of grace in the Old Testament. You see, the grace of God does not veil itself. The grace of God does not hide itself away from the people in the tent. And the mercy seat was there with the ark of the covenant within the Holy of Holies. And it was only visited once a year. And the only person that ever entered into it was the high priest. You see, the common Israelite person could never simply come day by day, morning and evening, if they so desired, to the mercy seat themselves. On the Day of Atonement, the high priest would go beyond the veil with the offerings both for himself and for the people. It's described for us in Leviticus 16. And it was only the high priest that was allowed to come to the mercy seat. And it was only the high priest that could come into that place after the rituals having been done, with the offerings having been made both for himself and for the Israelites. He would come and he would bring the blood and he would sprinkle that blood upon the mercy seat. But you know, for us, the throne of grace is there, the Lord Jesus Christ himself, not just as a high priest, but rather the great high priest. He's greater than Aaron. He's greater than all of the descendants of Aaron. He is a more perfect intercessor. Because remember, that's what Aaron, the high priest, was doing at that time. He was interceding on behalf of the people. After he sprinkled the blood upon the mercy seat, he would then proceed to intercede, to pray for that people. But yet Christ, as the great high priest, he has entered into the Holy of Holies. He passed through the first heaven, in other words, the atmospheric heaven. He then passed through the second heaven, the planetary heaven. And he's entered into the third heaven. And he's entered into the Holy of Holies. And he's sprinkled his own blood upon the mercy seat. He's sprinkled his own blood upon the throne of grace. And my friend, there he is. And when we come to the throne of grace, each and every child of God, when we come to the throne of grace, guess who we meet? The Lord Jesus Christ. You know, it's wonderful. You consider the invitation that's given there in verse 16. Let us therefore come boldly under the throne of grace. It's wonderful. Whenever you accept that invitation, you're going to a place where you already know someone. Whenever you come to the throne of grace, you're coming to a place where you have a familiar one there with you. You have the friend that sticketh closer than any brother. You know, I think of invitations that are often given, whether it be to various places or to various functions. There are times you're given an invitation, and maybe even to a wedding or whatever the occasion may be, and you go with a certain amount of uncertainty because you realize as you're going to that place that you won't know anyone. And sometimes even the one who's invited you and encouraged you to go won't even be there themselves. And so you're going to a place and you're a complete stranger, and everyone there are complete strangers to you. But yet when you come to the throne of grace, you'll always know one. There's a friend who sticketh closer than a brother. There's one whom we know. He's our shepherd. We know his voice. We know his person. We know his attributes. We know his love. We know his mercy. We know his grace. He's one that we know by name. He's one also that never gets tired of seeing us. Never gets tired of hearing from us. You know, there are some today that claim that they are looking for God. Some Christians even today, they say that God has withdrawn himself to the point where they don't even know where he is. Some people say, oh, I look for God and I can't find him. I pray and my prayers are never heard. And I don't know where the Lord is, and I'm wandering through life, and I don't know where I can find the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, Job testified of this in his time of great need. In Job 23:3, he said, oh, that I knew where I might find him, that I might even come to his seat. You want to find the Lord Jesus Christ, you'll find him at the throne of grace. You want to meet with Christ, you come to the throne of grace. You want to talk to Christ, you come to the throne of grace. He's always there. You can guarantee you enter and you come and you approach the throne of grace. You can guarantee this. The Lord Jesus Christ is there. He's always there. So that answers the first question. Who will we meet? My second question then is, what will we find there? What will we find there? Verse 16, it says, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace. First thing that it mentions that we'll find there, very simply, is a throne. It speaks of royalty, doesn't it? A throne is majestic, it's glorious. And God's majesty is seen at this throne. God's glory is evidenced there. You think of the brightness of his glory, which it speaks of in Hebrews 1. And it's there at the throne of grace because the Lord is there. And the brightness, the shining Shekinah glory is there evidenced at this throne. It is the seat upon which the Lord Jesus sits as king. He reigns and he rules. He said in Matthew 28:18, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. And from the Lord's throne, he reigns with all power. He reigns with great majesty, with great glory. You know, as you consider the thrones of God, there are a number of different thrones which are to be considered. There is the throne of God's government. Psalm 9 in the verse 4, it says, thou hast maintained my right and my cause. Thou sattest in the throne judging right. In other words, God's government is there. The control is there. There is also the throne of judgment. Revelation 20, the verse 11, it says, I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away. There's a throne of God's government. There's a throne of God's judgment. But we praise the Lord tonight, there's a throne of God's grace. And you know, when you consider Hebrews 4 and 16, everything about this verse as a whole, it just speaks to us and just exudes grace. The throne itself was designed by grace. It was built by grace. This throne is maintained and sustained by grace. It is grace which has revealed it to us. It is grace which has invited us to come. It is grace which has encouraged us to come. It is grace which has enabled us to come. It is grace which has declared us acceptable to come. It is grace which has given us a voice when we come to it. It is grace which enables our prayers to be heard and to be answered. And it is only grace that is experienced at this throne. Every man, every woman, every boy, every girl that comes to this specific throne, they will only ever have and experience grace. You know, at this particular throne of God, you're never punished. At this particular throne, you're never ignored. You're never neglected. You know, at the throne of grace, the common man and woman is blessed beyond measure. For each one that comes not only meets with Christ, but receives from Christ. Now, this is a wonderful thing that we will see whenever we come to it. It's the throne, and it's the throne of grace. And here at this time, as you look upon it, what do you see? You see grace upon grace upon grace upon grace. All of which was purchased by Christ at the cross. He purchased our salvation. He purchased this throne. He purchased the means to approach this throne. You think of the words that are found in Hebrews chapter 8, the verses 29 and 30. And there, as Paul writes to the church in Rome, really highlights just exactly all of the blessings that are found and all of the graces that Paul has enjoyed. Hebrews 8 and the verse 29 and 30, it says, "For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called, and whom he called, them he also justified, and whom he justified, them he also glorified. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us?" All of those graces, all of those wonderful doctrines, all of those wonderful things that are given to each and every one who comes in faith to the Lord Jesus Christ. Justification, where we're justified, where we're declared righteous in the sight of God. Redemption. We're bought by the precious blood of Christ. Adoption. We're brought into the family of God. We're now the heirs of God, the joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Sanctification, that work of the Spirit which continues within us, making us more and more conformable unto life and unto heaven. And all of those graces are there. And then we're given this wonderful invitation. Yes, you're now acceptable. You've been justified. You've been redeemed. You've been washed. You've been adopted. You're being sanctified. Come boldly, therefore, to the throne of grace. You know, Christ purchased our redemption. He purchased this, the throne. He purchased the means to approach the throne. It's wonderful, you know, where that throne has been built. You know, many times whenever you decide where to build a building, you're looking for good ground, firm ground, dry ground. You're looking for the perfect place to put that building, to erect that statue, whatever the case may be. The throne of grace is no different. throne of grace has been built upon the best ground possible. It's called redemption ground. So that whenever we come to it as the children of God, we're standing upon ground of peace. Ephesians 2 and verse 13, it says, but now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were afar off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition. In the verse 19 of the same chapter in Ephesians 2, it says, now therefore, ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. Oh, what a place to come to. What a person to meet there. The child of God, even as it speaks about the people of God in the verse 9, we're looking for that rest and we're invited, come to this throne. Come and meet with the one who sits upon the throne. Come and see the throne for what it truly is. It is a throne of grace. And we can come in our times of need. And even as we'll come back to look at this next week, we can come, we can meet with the Lord, we can talk with the Lord, we can experience his mercy and his grace. Oh, may we ever be encouraged and motivated to accept the invitation and to come boldly to this throne of grace. Let me encourage you even now in your home, as you've listened to this message, even wherever you are, to come to the throne of grace, to come around it even now, to thank the Lord for giving this throne and revealing it even to us, to thank the Lord for giving us the invitation to come, to thank the Lord even for welcoming us there and for listening to us in our time of need. As I said, we'll come back to this verse next week as we continue to look at it. I trust and pray that the Lord will encourage you and motivate you even to accept the invitation, and even now to spend time in prayer in your own house. Let's have a word of prayer as we close. Father in heaven, we do bow before thee. We thank thee, O God, this night for the throne of grace. We thank thee for each one that comes to it. They experience nothing but grace. Thank thee for grace that designed it, grace that built it. We thank thee for the place upon which it has been erected. We thank thee, O God, this night for the one who's there, sitting upon that throne as King and as Lord. The one who has invited us to come, the one who listens even now to our prayers. O Lord, bless and encourage thy people. Speak to the lost as well, O God. Consider the throne of judgment. What an awful place to stand before the Lord. O Father, we just simply ask that men and women will realize their great need of salvation. Will realize that they do not want to come under the judgment of a holy and a just God, but rather, O God, that they will come and experience the grace that is found in Christ Jesus. Bless us now and do us good in Jesus' name. Amen. Word of thanks once again for joining us this evening. I do pray that the Lord will richly bless you wherever you are and encourage your heart even through his precious word. May God bless each one.